Now, last week we learned three very important principles. Number one, that God's more concerned with who we are than what we do, what we're willing to lose than what we desire to conquer, and who we follow rather than who is for us. This was pointed out to us as we looked at the final preparations for the Israelites as they went into the land of Canaan, and specifically to conquer Jericho. So that brings us to this morning, in which we now begin this amazing campaign that will take us right into the heart of Jericho. I want to first go over the story that I had read and I thought was very fitting. But according to Lieutenant Colonel Ferris Kirkland, former professional of military science at the University of Pennsylvania, the most exciting lecture he ever heard was on an ancient general's military tactics. The lecturer was a visitor to his class, not even a regular teacher, but he held his students spellbound as he described this man's military strategy. A sudden strike into the heart of the enemy's territory, thus dividing the forces, then campaigns to the south, and then to the north. He described the techniques of psychological warfare, the elements of speed, surprise, and terror. Who was this ancient military genius? The student suggested Alexander the Great, Napoleon, Julius Caesar, Attila the Hun. And it was only at the end of the lecture, after all possible names had been exhausted, that the teacher revealed the identity of the one whose battles he was describing. Who was it? Joshua. Joshua. Yeah, and that's Joshua going into Jericho. As he goes in fact, there was one general in particular who used this particular book to plan out his whole battle plan. He was very successful. Now, this is a place that was fortified. Jericho, as we've talked about before, is a fortified city, double walls. It seemed almost impossible that the Israelites would be able to penetrate this city. On the one hand, they had to conquer the city, because this is the city that protected the land of Canaan from eastward invasion. But if they passed, if the Israelites passed by Jericho, they would leave the enemy at the rear. They would leave themselves in a very vulnerable position and something that they couldn't do. So what were Joshua and the people to do with such an insurmountable obstacle? You know, I was watching a TV show the other day. It's called Special Ops. I don't know if you've seen it. It's something that that Isaac, my son, he records and he watches. But I was watching one particular show in which this this person had to penetrate the enemy's camp and, do a few things there, take pictures and all that. But in doing so, he was somewhat found out. There was a pursuit, and the people who were pursuing him, the enemy, did something that reminded me of what I was taught a long time ago. And that is the exercise with the acronym SLLS, SEALS. And that stands for Stop, Look, Listen, and Smell, which goes, by the way, against every natural inclination of someone who is advancing or looking for someone. But when you're in pursuit, to take a moment and do this could mean the difference between catching that person or not. If you're evading, it could mean the difference between learning which way to go and which way not to go. In our case, spiritually, God tells us to stop, look, listen, and smell in a way that points to identifying Him as our commanding officer that will give us the way and overcome seemingly impossible obstacles in our taking ground for Him. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Oh, how hard it is to exercise that, right? be still and know that I'm God. In Luke 5:16, we know this about Jesus. It says, so he often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. He went and he was still before his Father. And if the God-man, Jesus, needed to be still and silent, then we too need to be still and silent and listen for that voice of God as he tries to speak to us. The title of this morning's message is In Silence, Conquering Jericho. And in silence, what we'll learn this morning, in silence, even though we live in a loud world, and it's not natural for us to be still, there are several important biblical principles that we can glean from this morning. Number one is to identify the obstacles that can only be overcome by God. Number two, that we must trust in God's instructions, in his word. And number three, that we must obey God to the end. So let's begin by reading Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. It says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. Now hold on one second there. Because as I read this, it almost seemed somewhat humorous. You know, it's like the Lord grabbed Joshua, right? Now you can imagine. You're looking at this city. Now, son, you see Jericho there, right? Yeah, it's all secure, tightly shut up. Yes, it's got two walls really high, the gates almost basically impossible for you to get through. But see, I have given all of that over to you. Did I miss something? You know, it's one of those moments where you're like, I don't see what you're seeing, but Lord, you are trustworthy. And I'm going to go ahead and believe you at your word. And I imagine Joshua doing that. Just see, son, I've given you the whole thing. It's all yours. God, I don't see it right now. But I'm going to go on faith that you've given us the city. Verse 3 says, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Now, from a human's standpoint, this had to have been the most ridiculous and absurd plan that to conquer a city that someone's ever heard. I mean, we all know that even 2 million people marching around a city is not going to bring anything down, right? But those are the instructions that God was giving to Joshua. This is what I want you to do. I know you don't understand what I'm doing. I just need you to be obedient. And Joshua did precisely what God had told him to do. And we're going to continue to read the rest of the account of this unconventional warfare. And then I'm going to come back and point a few things out to you. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests, who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout, So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. Then the seven priests, bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns, before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And so it was the same the second day. The second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp, so they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day, only they marched around the city 7 times, and the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble." Now remember that, for when we go into the next chapter, these are very important points to draw from. Verse 19 says, "But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her." And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. In verse 26, "Then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, 'Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds his city, Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates.' So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country." Now we know why the city of Jericho was shut up, was secure the way it was. I mean, the people of Jericho had heard the reports of what God had done on behalf of the Israelites. All the miracles, everything that he had done. I mean, they are looking 5 miles down the road. One moment the Israelites are on the other side of the Jordan. The next moment they're on this side of the Jordan. Oh, wow, what's going on here, right? Just a few days earlier, they were in the plains of Jericho celebrating the Passover. I mean, it's almost like mocking them, right? "Hey, we're in your plains, we're here." The Israelites had destroyed 2 kings east of the Jordan. And now the Lord was giving Joshua specific instructions as to how they were to attack Jericho. And one thought that was interesting to me as we went through the scripture is that he referred to this group of people now as men of war. And that included the guards that were in the front. It included the ark, or the priests, right behind them. The ark of the Lord behind them. The guard, and then 2 million people. Imagine that. That was everyone together. Now, these men of war, this isn't a normal approach to battle, but it's the way God prescribed it to happen. As we enter into being a part of God's family, you also put up your right hand and swore that you would be a soldier for the Lord. Did you know that? You didn't know you were going into battle. But we are. We're in this spiritual battle. We're constantly in it. And although we have the Lord's army in the spiritual realm fighting on our behalf, we too, with prayer, with preaching, with witnessing, testifying, all of those things, we act as warriors with Christ in God's will in His battles. I also noticed that even though the Lord's presence was in between the two cherubims in the Ark of the Lord, that Joshua still placed guards before it and guards after it. And even though we have the Holy Spirit that indwells us as Christians, we too are called to protect. Right? Ephesians 5. Why is it that we put on the whole armor of God? It's not that now we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and let's just go out and do whatever we want to do. We have the freedom to do that, right? No, the enemy will have a good old time with you if that's what you do. We're called to put on the full armor of God. Furthermore, I noticed that Joshua told the Israelites that not only could they not shout, but they couldn't talk, and they couldn't even utter a word. And this is the first important principle that I want to bring to your attention, and that is that in silence we can identify the obstacles that can only be overcome by God. Now, everyone's seen movies like Braveheart, right? I mean, when they were going to attack, they not only yelled, but they slammed their weapons together. The horses were trampling. It was sounded like absolute thunder. But that wasn't how the Lord wanted the Israelites to approach Jericho. His plan was of them being silent before God. And that is something very significant for us to do in our walks with the Lord. We need to learn how to be silent before Him, to listen to Him, and to be attentive to what He's trying to tell us. Now, my boys, they can get really busy. And they can get loud with what they're doing. They can't even hear Dad when he's calling them, let alone, understand the instructions that he's giving them. I'm sure you guys don't go through that, but in our house we do. The Israelites were told to stay a half mile behind the Ark of the Lord, right? As they went across the Jordan. Because they needed to keep the Lord in sight. Remember that? Now it's their hearing that needed to be clear to hear the command that was soon to come. Stop, look, listen, smell. It was time for this exercise to be executed. For the people just to be still. Now, listen. It's in silence that they were commanded to march around Jericho. And this was the reason, as I was looking at this, here's some of the things that I can imagine were going through their heads. For 6 days, they were told, first of all, they weren't told 6 days. They were just told, hey, get up, this is how we're going to march around the city and go. They had enough time to go around the city, look at the walls, look at the doors, look at how impossible this goal was. We're going to conquer this city right here. So they got up one day, and they were silent as they did their march around. The Lord gave 6 days to see the impossible. To understand that without God handing them the victory, there was no way that they could possibly take this over and conquer this obstacle. Silence for 2 million people. Imagine that. Well, how about one? How about we just focus on one person being silent? And that's me, right? Are we silent before the Lord as we allow Him to show us how He can work through the impossible? If we're not talking in prayer, then I can tell you that you're probably thinking in prayer. Right? Your mind is going and engaging. And sometimes, you know, the Lord can't get a word in edgewise because we're talking too much. Sometimes we just need to sit. Stop explaining things to him, like as if he needs more explanation. Your issue. We just need to stop and listen. Again, Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." F.B. Meyers calls silence the hardest of all commandments, as he has this to say about it. He says, quote, "That our voice should not be heard, that no word should proceed from our mouth, that we should utter our complaints to God alone. All this is foreign to our habits and tastes. As death is the last enemy to be destroyed in the universe of God, so is the restraint of the tongue the last lesson learned by his children. We like to air our grievances, to talk over our ailments, to compare ourselves with others, and to discuss the likeliest remedies. We tell our friends our secrets under the strict promises of confidence, to discover in bitter experience the truth of the Master's words, that what is told into the ear in closets will be proclaimed upon housetops. It is only the still heart that can reflect the heaven of God's overarching care, or detect the least whisper of his voice through its quiet atmosphere, or know his full grace and power." It's only in silence that we can identify the obstacles that can only be overcome by God. Secondly, in silence before God, we need to learn to trust in his instructions. These commands had to be received and executed in complete faith that God would indeed work just as he said he would work. Remember, they didn't know. They were just given instructions. This is what I want you to do. God had already said, hey, Jericho, the land of Canaan, it's all yours. No man is going to be able to stand against you, Joshua. And now the Lord just told him, hey, this is what we're going to do. And Joshua told him, day in and day out, okay, get up, do this again. The Lord didn't just push the walls down. He commanded them to be obedient to what he was telling them to do. And they acted exactly as they should have acted. And obedience is an essential part of having true faith. A lot of people will say, yes, I have faith. I believe in Jesus, right? I believe in God. I believe in his word. But if you don't see that in their lives, then it's hard to understand whether they have faith or not, right? These people exercise their faith by doing exactly what God told them to do, even when it didn't make sense. Now, what does God honor and is most honored by? Would it be a Christian that can eloquently profess their faith? I've heard many, right? But in the end, it's not many will that say, Lord, Lord, will enter into eternity with him. Right? Many of the people who at one point eloquently professed their faith have fallen away and are no longer serving the Lord. Is it how much you serve God with natural talents and abilities? No. That's not it either. Because there are many people who use their natural talents and abilities, they're actually God-given, right, for their own benefit. Is it good looks and personality? You know, Max was asking me that earlier because he's so good-looking. He's got a great personality. No, it's not that. Sorry, Max, it's not that. It's not, because Saul stood head and shoulders above everyone in his country, right? But he managed to dishonor God by being disobedient. So it's not that. It's not good looks. It's not great personality that does it. The answer to this question is found in 1 Samuel 15:22. Has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. And that's the answer. That's what honors God, and that's what the Lord delights in honoring, is obedience. To obey God is the answer to that question, and we need to learn to trust the Lord, to obey Him. And thirdly, we need to obey God to the end, to trust Him and at His word, and then to obey Him, not just temporarily, but to the very end, even when it's not logical. Remember, day after day, the children encircled Jericho. They weren't told how many days they were going to do this. They weren't told what would happen on the seventh day. They just did as they were told to do day in and day out. They were trusting in the Lord and showing this trust by obeying the instructions they were given. One day at a time. First day, nothing happened. They were obeying all the way through the sixth day. No conquest, no surrender, no walls came crashing down on the sixth day. And this reminded me of a story in 2 Kings 5:1 of a Syrian commander in the king's army. This commander went to Elisha. His name was Naaman. And Elisha, as we know, is a prophet. And he went to him because he had leprosy. And he was told by Elisha to go bathe in the Jordan 7 times. Go just bathe yourself 7 times. And Naaman got upset. He said, the Jordan? I can go to Damascus, and there's better rivers there. I want to go there. No, no, no. Go to the Jordan. That's where I want you to go. And I can just imagine, as he did go to the Jordan, that the first time he went down, came up, nothing happened. Went down, came up, nothing happened. A third time, no improvement whatsoever. A fourth time, can you imagine what's going through? He said, what's the use? Right? A fifth time, I'm in the Jordan. A sixth time, what am I doing here? Look at my skin. I'm still the same. Elisha told me to come here to the Jordan, and it's muddy, and it's, what's the use? Oh, okay, one more time. He comes up and says in 2 Kings 5:14, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. 7 times. See, we need to learn this lesson very well. That of the Israelites as they marched around Jericho 7 times, as this Syrian commander bathed in the Jordan River 7 times. It doesn't make sense. Why, Lord? Why am I here? Why am I doing this? Why do I keep following your word when it doesn't make sense and I don't see any results? Keep doing it. Keep going. One day you will be before the king, and he will tell you, well done, good and faithful servant. I know that's what we all want to hear. But he won't tell us that because of our own good works. He'll be telling that because of the work, the finished work on the cross of Jesus Christ in his righteousness. But I tell you that the word promises us that we'll have crowns and we'll have jewels and we'll have items that we can worship the Lord with. And I want to gather as many of those as I can to worship our King. When God doesn't act as quickly as we would like or in the way we want Him to, we're not justified in pulling back or adopting some other manner of doing so, of trying to accomplish what we haven't accomplished. We need to stay the course, and I implore you, stay the course. Keep doing the word, the work of the Lord according to the word of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to go into detail as far as the rest of the chapter is concerned, because I think we'll be here for a little while longer, but I do want to point a few things out to you. Couple things. One is that some of these items that were within Jericho were devoted to destruction. And the children of Israel were told not to take any of it. It was just the gold, silver, bronze, and iron that was to be taken for, what was it, the treasury of the Lord, right? And that was it. That's where it would all go. This is, first of all, what the Lord told us not to be a part of. The Father tells His Son to stay away from certain things, not just because He doesn't want him to partake of those things, but a father knows. Hey, Son, these things will bring harm to you. And so the Lord told the children of Israel, do not take from any of these. As far as the gold and silver and the iron and bronze, those are my first fruits. So please bring them into the treasury of the Lord. Secondly, and lastly, the point here is that God exalts and God humbles. And for Joshua, it says here in the last verse, so the Lord was with Joshua and his fame spread throughout all the country. It wasn't because Joshua was so great. It was because Joshua was humble before the Lord and he was willing to be used as a vessel to honor the Lord. That's it. That's who you and I are before the Lord. And that's why it's important for us to learn to be silent so that we can identify the impossible. Okay, it's there. We see it. To trust in what the Lord tells us and to obey Him to the very end. And that's what we are to do. Let me leave you with this story because I was kind of didn't know how to conclude this message. You see, yesterday, I thought maybe we weren't going to be worshiping here. I thought it was going to be maybe out in the grass. I'll tell you why. It's because this little key that opens a front door could not be found. Last Sunday, we left in a hurry. And we got all our stuff together to go camping. So we got the trailer, everything together, and we were off and running. And I was thinking, the key. Who knows where the key is? Because it was loose, and so I remember putting it in the cup holder, but then after that I had no idea where it went. But all I kept on hearing is, "Son, keep studying. That's what I've called you to do. You do that. Just keep studying." All right, I'll keep going. I was writing. Not like that, it was like this. So I kept writing, and the Lord just kept feeding me what I needed to really pass on to you. And then someone came behind me and told me, "Well, what are you going to do?" And all I heard was, "Keep going, son." I said, "I'll worry about it later." And I kept going. But then, you know those thoughts, you know, what about the key roll? You know, there's a lot of people that are going to be standing outside, you know. I was thinking, it's nice weather, Lord. We can deal with that, right? But then He just kept moving me forward to the point to where I got up this morning, and I get up really early on Sundays because I like to go over the message, and I like to go over my notes and kind of draw the conclusion at that time. And this morning, the thought came up again, because I still didn't have the key, is, what am I going to do? You know, should I start making phone calls? And all I heard was, no. Naturally, I mean, at that time, really, I could have picked up the phone and started calling the people who manage the community. And I thought maybe one of those numbers would produce another key, right? But it's just no. That would be the natural thing to do, but it was just no. Okay, so now it's about 6:30. Chuck is close to being on his way to pick up everything. And I need to iron my clothes. So, These are the pants that I wore last Sunday, by the way. But I didn't wear them throughout the week, so. And I go to iron my pants. And all of a sudden it was like, check in that little pocket that you usually do not leave a key in or anything else, and it's right there. I felt like I dipped my hand into the mouth of the fish. And out of this little pocket right here came the key. That key could have been a huge distraction. But it was just, I'm telling you, I was just doing what was unnatural for me to do. That is not taking things into my own hands. It was just simply hearing God out, and I was like, oh, why? I need to make some phone calls. We need to have church this morning. And he had it all figured out. He knew that this would be a lesson for someone else. It's so basic, so simple. But people, we can learn things that God wants to tell us through the simple things of life. And it was just that. He's just saying, son, just wait on me. Just listen. Just keep doing what I called you to do. I've called you to preach, teach, love on these people. They're my people. So keep doing that. I'll take care of the key to the front door. He'll take care of not only the key to the front door, but he'll also take care of the walls that need to be brought down. He just calls us to trust in him, be obedient. And we can't do that unless we're listening. And we're silent before him. And that's the message this morning. That we need to be silent before an almighty God who can do the impossible. And I just... And I cannot close out without, as that song was talking about, the Lamb of God. Because all of this is done for the children of God. Now, this is done for the Israelites, not for the Canaanites or the Amorites. It's for the Israelites. And that's God's chosen people. Now, we as non-Jews, most of us are non-Jews, as we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as our full payment for the penalty of sin that we so deserve, we now become part of the family of God. Right? Now you understand that sin separates you from God. Right? And that it is only by the payment of Jesus Christ on the cross that we even have the opportunity to be in a relationship with God our Father for eternity in heaven. But here's the thing, is that we need to believe by faith. We need to trust him at his word that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. That's it. He is the door. And so I would pray that if anyone here has not trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you would this morning place your trust in him, turning from sin and turning to the author of your faith, who will not only begin to do a work, but he'll also complete it until the day in which you go to see the Father. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you, Lord, you still speak to your children. Lord, your word says that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And that is a promise that you've given to each and every one of us who can call you Father, who can call you Daddy. Lord, as Abba, Father, means. So Lord, in one day spend eternity with you. And so with our eyes closed, with our heads bowed, I would ask if anyone here that has not placed their trust in Jesus Christ, would like to do that this morning, that you would simply acknowledge that by just lifting up your hand. All eyes are closed, heads are bowed. Would you like to receive Jesus Christ this morning? Now, for those that that are a part of God's family, I hope we learn something this morning, or we're reminded of being silent before the Lord and understanding how He's overcome these incredible obstacles in our lives and giving Him credit for that. But we need to learn to be silent. And so, Lord, I pray for your children, for us here, Lord, that you just slow us down, Lord. This world is very loud. It's very busy. I pray that you give us strength to go off on our own, whether it be for 30 minutes, an hour, whatever time is necessary, that you called us to go off and just be still and silent before you, that we make that time for you, that we listen and we apply, completely trusting and having faith that you will bring about those things which your word says you will. And so, Lord, we thank you for this morning. Bless the rest of this day, and may you continue your work in each and every one of us to the day we come before you. In Jesus' name, we pray.